Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem. Welcome back to today's Daf Hayomi, Nida Daf Chavtes. We begin right on top at the two dots. Yotze mechuta choy mesuros v'chul. So, at what point does the birth formally begin? At what point does it trigger the, Leida process with the Tumas Leida with the whole count that follows? Mishnah says, well, it depends. If it comes out head first, which is the standard, typical, in that case, the head is what makes it happen. Once the head or most of the head comes out, the Leida process has formally begun. However, says the Mishnah, if it comes out in an unconventional manner, Yotze mechutuch comes out in parts, lo yaleinu, oy mesuros, or backwards, so feet first, in this case, mishiyotze ruboy, hari hu kiyolot. Once most of it comes out, so we know that the halach is ruboy kikuloy, it qualifies as the birthing experience. Says the Gemara. Amar Belazar, you should know, afilu horoishim mohen. When the Mishnah speaks about this fetus coming out in parts, actually says, I'm chutach koyin, dismembered, lo yaleinu, ubar, where the Mishnah quantifies it as roiv, even if the head is with that roiv, head has no significance, the head runs a show, but in this case, no show to run, unfortunately. Afilu horoishim mohen. So there's no special significance or chashivos to the head more than any other limb. So it's all about the quantity, the sum total quantity, which needs to be 51%. I feel a Rosh Yimayin. Rabbi Yechon Amari says, no, the head still has something to say. The head is the focal point of the entire body. Melech HaEvarim, even though it's detached, it has chashivos. And once the head emerges, it activates the later process. When do we require 51%? That's without the head amongst the material. If the head is there, Harish Poiter, or some say Harihu Kiyolot, it's considered a birth. Okay, so again, a regular standard birth where the head comes out, a live baby, adult, so the head is what matters. That's considered the act of Leida. But if it's mechutach, dismembered, in which case there's no live entity to speak of, it's in parts. Rabbi Elazar says in that case, it's all about, 51% of the sum total material. Rabbi Yechon says, in this case as well, once the head is out, that's considered later. Leimu b'dishmol kamitli, perhaps this machlekes links to a statement issued by Shmuel as well on this matter. Damar Shmuel, ein haroish poiter b'nefalim. He says if it's a nafel, it's an unsuccessful, unviable offspring, the emergence of the head has no significance. So Rashi says, for instance, you have these twins. One is viable, one is not. The unviable one poked out his head and then took it back in, and the other one followed. The other one is a bechor, not the first one, because the emergence of the head in the case of an unviable offspring has no significance. That's Shmuel's opinion. So perhaps the machlekes that we have in our Gemara would link to the halacha of Shmuel that Rabbi Elazar, who says that the head has no significance, that's like Shmuel tells us, unless it's a healthy, viable child with a head, in fact, runs the show, you don't have to reckon with the head per se. Whereas Rabbi Yechon says the head still maintains chashivos. So as if more, not necessarily. Perhaps here it's a bit different, because here we're speaking about a dismembered ubar, where it's detached in pieces. Whereas Shmuel is going a step further, even if it's whole and complete and detached. He's still not reckoning with the head because it's not a live, viable offspring. And on that, perhaps they disagree with. B'shalom, if it's complete and whole and together, the kuliyam li pligi, all would agree, even Elazar would agree. The emergence of the head is considered leida. He pleaded, the machlekes here is only b'mechutech when it's in parts. The Mar Savar, Elazar says, but it has no significance. B'sholom edu chashav, the head's chashipas is only when it's whole and complete. B'mechutech like a chashav, not when it's in parts. The Mar Savar, Rechon says, it still maintains its status. B'mechutech nami chashav. Lishnachunet, there was a different version of the of this response. It was pretty much the same thing. Tam odu yotza mechutech ha-misuras. When do we have a machlekes? Meaning, when does our blessed discount the presence of the head? The yotzei mechutech ha-misuras, when it's dismembered, or its feet first, there's no head coming out first. Ha-ketikne, but if it's intact and the head comes out first, ha-reish poit, of course the head would set the stage. Unlike Shmuel, who says even when it's complete and intact, the head has nothing to say. Tarai, both Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Yechonon, less lo de Shmuel, disagree with Shmuel. Domar Shmuel tells us, Ein Arish Poitib Nefalm, the head is not a factor at all by an Eifel. Okay, so according to this approach of the Gemara, Shmuel totally discounts the Arish, unless it's a healthy, viable child. But if it's just an Eifel, the head has nothing to say. Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Yechonon seem to disagree with that. They're discussing only if it's mechutach, dismembered, in parts. In that case, they say, well, perhaps it's not connected anymore, it's different. So holds Rabbi Elazar, and Rechon still maintains status to the head. Ikur de masnal hashmait bapi nafsha. Now, some had a different version of this whole discussion. It wasn't Rabbi Elazar and Rechon relating to the story of the Mishnah. Rather, it was a separate, independent discussion. Amar Rabbi Elazar gets up and says, Ein haroish k'roi ve'ivarim. That the head of an unviable offspring doesn't have equal status to the majority of the limbs. Meaning, it's all about some total quantity, 51%. The head has no special meaning here, whether it's intact or dismembered. Rabbi Yechon Amar, yes, haroish k'roi ve'ivarim. Just as when it's roi ve'ivarim, you have a leido, likewise a head counts. Reish is k'neged kulam. Whether it's intact or dismembered, the commitment given to Shmuel. In fact, their machlekes corresponds to Shmuel's statement. So Rabbi Elazar holds of Shmuel that we discount the head unless it's a healthy, viable child, and the Yechonon disagrees. So now we have a kasha on Rabbi Yechonon, who gives the reish status, even in this type of case. We have a kasha from our Mishnah, Tanan. Let's take a look at our Mishnah again. Yotze mechutach oy misuras. The blood comes out in parts or feet first. Mishotze ruboy. How are you, Kiyolot? When do we have the leda triggered? 51%. Now, Midika Omar. Take a close look at the wording. It says, mechutach oy, right? Oy misuras. Misuras means feet first. Apparently, the previous case, mechutach, means head first. And still, it's not enough. You need 51%. Apparently, head has no meaning here. Midik Amar Oy Mesuras Mechlal. Apparently, the Mechutach, the previous case of this member, is talking about Ketikne, head first. Regular way of emerging. Midik Amar, and still the Mishnah says, that's not sufficient. Mishyotza Rupoy Harizak Yod, only 51% makes it happen. Not the head alone. Kashu Rabbi Yechon, Kashu Rabbi Yechon. Amach Rabbi Yechon, so respond like this. Ema Yotza Mechutach Mesuras. Umesuras. It's one case. It's not either or. We're speaking that it came out dismembered and feet first. In this case, since the head didn't come out first, you have to wait at least until 51% to qualify as later. But the Mishnah adds oy in between the two cases. How could you say it's one case? The Mishnah is like this. Yotze mechutach, it came out in parts. Oy, or shalem, intact. But the word mesuras relates back to both cases, either dismembered or intact, but it came out feet first. In this case, there's no head coming out to speak of it. It's only considered later when you get 51%. Amar Papa, I found the machlokes tanoim, which can link to our machlokes amaroim. Good tanoi. Yotze beva brais. Yotze mechutach oy mesuras. So it came out in parts or feet first. Mishiyotza Rubai, Harez Vuki Yalot, 51% makes late. Rabbi Yisu Eimer Mishiyotza Ketikmai. Only if he comes out the conventional way, meaning head first. But otherwise, it doesn't work. My comma, what does he mean to say? If he came out backwards with a 51%, why not? Omar Papa Chikami means like this. He emerged in parts, and also with feet first. In this case, this is the Tanakama speaking first, right? Shiatsa Rube is a Rikiyol, 51%, qualifies as later. And let's infer from here, Hokitiknoi. But if he came out regular, head first, even if it's dismembered, Reish Poita, the head, exempt, meaning that triggers the later. So according to Tanakama, it's either 51% if it's feet first, or if it's head first, the head is what triggers it. So this is like Rabbi Yechon's opinion that the head has chashivos even in this type of circumstance. Rabbi Yossi, no. Now, from the simple reading of his words, it sounds like he's requiring both conditions. Rubai and ketiknoi. Ketiknoi means the regular manner, head first, and 51%. Maskev la Rav Zvid. I have a question, says Rav Zvid, on Rav Papa's explanation. Why would you require both conditions if it's already 51%? 51% is right. Of course, that's sufficient. Michlal de Mimsoiris. So you mean to say that Rav Yossi's opinion is that if it's feet first, even if it's 51%, it doesn't qualify? Rubai namelei poiter? But Kamil, we know this as an established fact. Anyway, you look in the Torah, the Rubai kekula most is considered like the entire thing happens. Elam Rav Zvid, let me tweak it a bit. Hachi kama. Let's go back to Tanakam. Yotza mechutach umasurus, right? It came out in parts and feet first. It's about the majority. Yotza rubai, it works. Arik derkiel. Hoketikna, but if it comes out head first, you don't need rave. The head enough, alone is enough. Reish pait. Okay, this is like we said before. But he's tweaking the next line. Rabbi Yisio Aymer. Mishiyotza ketikna l'chaim. He says that the head, that's only if he's running the show. If he's alive and well. If he came out head first, l'chaim. To life. L'mazel tov. But otherwise, if he's dismembered, and the head has no control over the body, there's no connection, in that case, even head first, head has no halachic effect. But of course he would agree that if it's 51%, even if it's, you know, backwards, that is enough. So that's the only change between this and the previous. But bottom line, we do find the machlekes, like we had before. Tanakam and Rabbi Yossi are arguing about this very point that Rabbi Lezer and Rabbi Yochanan were discussing. Tanakam holds that even if it's in parts, the Roish has a chashivas, and it makes the later happen. Okay, so Tanakam is like Rabbi Yochanan. And Rabbi Lezer says, discount the head if it's in a, you know, this type of situation, is like Rabbi Yossi. It says, Mechutach, well, in that case, the head has no chashivas. Tanya mihachi. We find a brisa, which in fact backs up Rav Zvid's understanding of this machlekes, Yotze Mechutach. So we have Tanakamu, which starts with Yotze Mechutach. Vesuras, it came out in December, then backwards. Mishyotze Rubai, or is it Kiyolot? Roiv makes the later happen, even without the head. Hoketiknu. Obviously, if head first, Reish Poit, of course the head would exempt, would activate the birthing process. Only he's coming out alive and well. In that case, the head triggers it later. Now we speak about the head coming out and qualifying. What's considered the emergence of the head? How much do you need? The full head? Shades of Rav Reisha, most of it. Vezeo Rav Reisha, what's considered most? Rav Yisio Aymer, there are three ways to define that. He says, Mishayetzu Tzedob, once you see the temples coming out, Abachon L'mishum Rav Yisio Aymer, Mishayetze Padachte, his forehead, some say Mishayiro, Karni Reisha, once you see the, like the keren, like the horn, like the high point of the head, the high points of the head, which Rashi says, Goy Vav Reisha, Shayetze La Oyref, the high point towards the back, that's considered Rav Reisha, and triggers the you know, the birthing process. Okay, so bottom line. Let's start with Shmuel, who says, Ein ha-roish poita b'nefalim. Although we know that the emergence of the roish is considered the act of leida, that's only by a healthy, viable child. But otherwise, if it's a nefal, unviable child, even if it's intact, the head has no significance. However, we had a machlokes here between Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Elazar says, we ignore the head. That sounds like Shmuel. And Rabbi Yochanan says, no, we reckon with the head. That sounds like not like Shmuel. So one way to understand was that in fact they're arguing about Shmuel's halacha as well. Another way to understand was that if it's depends if it's intact, in that case they would disagree with Shmuel. They would hold that the head has chashivas because it's part of the body, and he's the most significant part of the body. It's only when it's mechutach, separated and severed, then we have a machlekes. In fact, we found the machlekes tanoim on this matter as well. Continues the Mishnah. Apelles. Ve'en yedua ma'ipila. So this woman knows that she shed something, some sort of miscarriage. She's not sure what it was. Was it a zachar? Was it an akeva? But she knows that it had status. It was a vlad. It wasn't just a discharge. Okay, what does she do? She has to account for all possibilities. Now we know there are different counts for zachar, who has a shorter sum total of days, a shorter yimei tumah, just 7 days, and the yimei tahara, which follow, end at day 40, whereas in a cave has a longer stretch, 2 weeks of yimei tumah, followed by a whole long stretch of yimei tahara, ending at day 80. So this woman has to adopt all stringencies. A longer yimei tumah, two weeks, and a shorter yimei tahara, it stops at day 40. Teishev, l'zachar, within a cave, she has to observe the zachar and a cave account simultaneously. In your door, in blood hoya. Let's say she's not even sure if it had status, this discharge. It was just an empty sack. In your door, in blood hoya, in love. In this case, she can't even have any yimei tahara. Teishev. Zachar and kevel mida. She has to accommodate all possibilities. Maybe it was a zachar. Maybe it wasn't a kevel. Maybe she's just a plain nida if she sees dam. She doesn't have any yimei tahara discount. Maybe it wasn't even a vlad. Amar Rav Shimon Levi. Over Narvi Pila. Here's a case where a woman passed through a body of water and she shed some sort of discharge and it got washed away. And she's not sure whether it was a developed ubar, whether it was just an empty sack. Maybe a carbon b'nechal. She can safely bring a carbon yoledes, and the kohanim eat it. Gzum te'eit. Why? Halicha charev nashim. Follow the majority of women. Charev nashim. Most likely, vlad ma'al yaldim. Typically, a woman is expecting, is presumed to have a vlad with status. Vlad ma'al yaldim. Tznan. What about our Mishnah? In yadua im vlad hoya. Mishnah says, she's not sure it was. Teishav le zechon kevel nidu. Just accommodate even the neither possibility that there was no vlad at all. What do you mean? The Rav, the majority, should determine that she had a vlad. Am I? Teishul Lamidu, why should she have to accommodate the Nida possibility? Wait a minute, we should apply the rule of Halei Chachar Nashim, follow the majority of women. Varav Nashim, Vlad Mal Yaldin. Typically, women give birth to valid vladis. The answer is Masisim Shlihuch Sukobra. Our mission is speaking that she wasn't an established Mubera. It wasn't confirmed that she was expecting. She felt something, she had some sort of sensation, so it's not really an established fact that you can work with and rule definitively based on the rave. So here you never know. As opposed to Shimon Levi, the Chikam of Shimon Levi, that rave established that she had a vlad, she was an established muberes. It had been confirmed that she was expecting. In this case, most likely it was a vlad. Toshmai comes another kasha. We have a discussion regarding an animal birthing for the first time, in which case that first one is going to be a bechor. Tashma behema shiyatsu malei barikonis. So we have an animal who left the barn filled, expecting, come back at night, she's depleted. We have no idea what it was, where it went, where it got lost. Haba achrov, the next offspring, bechor misafik. We have to apply a safik bechor status to it, because perhaps the previous experience, maybe it did qualify, maybe it didn't qualify, maybe it was something of halachic value, maybe not. Vamai asked tomorrow the same question here. Halecha charev behemos. Why don't we just take the majority factor and say v'roi behemos, vlad mal yaldon, typically an animal births something which has status. Let's assume that the next one is exempt from bechor. By pashto, the next one should be a pashto, the non-bechor. Om Ravina. Rishon Nikolai, maybe you can apply the following factor as well, which sort of mitigates your argument. That's true. Most animals birth something which has halachic, you know, value, which would exempt the following offspring from bechor, meaning it itself has value. But some, at least a small percentage, will shed something which has no vlad status. But we're not done. There's another factor as well. Bechala yodas. It's a rule that all birthers, all animal birthers, a day before their actual birth, they discharge some sort of liquid, which is a sort of a telltale sign of the impending birth. In this case, it didn't happen. Bechala yodas. All birthers metanfas. They have this tinuf experience. Vizu on this animal of ours, horribly tinfas, since she did not have that shedding, Israel Yeruba, that challenges, that questions, that shakes up the roiv. So you can't apply a roiv here. True, the starting point is most animals who are expecting will birth something of value, but it comes along with a tinuf which precedes, which in this case didn't happen. Ask the Gemara, okay, well, now that you have established another fact, that every birther, every leida is preceded by a tinuf, so if it didn't happen in this case, we have a raya the other way now. Doesn't that confirm that she did not have a leida? So why is it even a suffix to speak of? V'kol ha'yodas metanfas, of all yodas are metanif. Oh, now this animal of ours, medulei metanfas, since she did not do tinuf, b'chor ma'ayu. That confirms exactly the opposite. What she had on Monday was a non-birth, because Sunday there was no tinuf. In which case, the next offspring down the road will be a valid b'chor. Is there any question? So we have to tweak it a bit. It's not an absolute rule that every birth is preceded by a tinuf. Elaim, we have to say like this, right, most likely, yodas metanfas, animals will birth on Monday, it's preceded by a tinuf on Sunday, most likely. It's not an absolute rule. Bazu, so our animal, since she did not exhibit that experience, bazu hoivle tinufa, it's not a confirmation otherwise, but it certainly shakes up the roiv, the other roiv, that most animals that are expecting give birth to valid. Well, typically it comes along with a tinuf, which didn't happen, so sort of questions the whole roiv, and you can't know anything anymore. It mitigates the power of the roiv. So now back to square one, we have a suffix in terms of what happened, and the next offspring will be a suffix b'char. Okay, so conclusion. We have a halacha from Shulman Levi, an isha, and the more explains an isha who was hosaka ubra, who was known to be expecting. She lets go of something. We assume it had status, because Roiv Noshim Vlad Ma'al Yaldim. Now comes Akasha. Kiyasa Ravin, when Ravin arrived, he quoted a Kasha on this halacha of Rabbi Shimon Levi, who assumes that most Mu'baris are Yaldis. Kiyasa Ravin Amar, he says, Masiv Rabbi Yisra Chanina. Rabbi Yisra Chanina asked a question from a Braisa, which he called Toya. Brisa of the confused woman. And Ravin followed by saying, I'm not even sure what the question was. And later he'll explain to us what he had in mind. Mahi, what was the question to begin with? Asanya. Here comes a Brisa, which seems to indicate that it's not just an assumption. We can't just presume that an expectant woman will give birth to a valid offspring. This time you have a Bryce. We turn to him at base. So here we get into a really complicated story. Isha Shiyotza Samaleya Ubari Kanis. This woman left town when she was full, meaning she was expecting, she was carrying, and she returns empty. And Rashi says, a while later, Losezman Maruba, Rashi on the top line, Venu Das, and she has no clue what happened. Veniyadas, Amos, Yotzahar, Yanish, not sure what happened. Where did this disappear to? Apparently she wasn't really fully expecting. It was just the beginning, and it somehow disappears. She's not sure what it was, when it was, how it was, or it wasn't. Now, there are many possibilities. Was it something of status? Something which reached, you know, reasonable phase of development, which qualifies as an offspring, which would trigger the Tumas Leda process? Yes? Okay, and even if yes, was it a Zohar with a shorter system? Tot la 40 days. First 7 days is the Yimei Tumah, followed by Yimei Tahara. So the dam she sees during the Yimei Tumah are Tamei. The dam she sees during Yimei Tahara until day 40, including, is considered Tahar blood. Was it in a keva, which stretches it, doubles the time? First 2 weeks is Yimei Tumah, after which any dam she sees is considered pure blood, Yimei Tahara, until day 80, including? Perhaps none of the above. Perhaps she was even a Zava. Maybe she had dam without noticing, and it was 3 days in a row. She needs to have 7 clean days, confirmed clean, and then a tefillah. And of course, there are differences in the tefillahs as well. Because if it's a tefillah following the Leida, the Yimei Tumah, then it has to be at the end, after a complete 7 days, or complete 14 days, so it's the following night. It's a nighttime tefillah. Tefillah is Laila. If it's a matter of a tefillah at the end of the Shiva Nakim of a Zava, then you do it during the day. Because once you observe part of that day, we say mitzas hayayim, partial day, it counts like the full day, kikulay, and she does tefillah middle of the day, tefillah hayayim. There's another reason to do tefillah, which the Gemara will call tefillah hayayim arach, like a tefillah hayayim, a fellow who had gotten involved with tumah, then he immersed in a mikvah. It's still daytime, so before nighttime sets in, before Harav Shemesh, sunset, he's still sort of partially tummy, and not really able to touch truma, etc. So the Isha, according to Rabbi Shammai at least, needs a special tefillah after she finishes the Yimei Tahara to completely purify, to allow it to touch truma. That requires its own tefillah. So as you see, there are many reasons, many possible triggers for tefillah. And we have no idea what happened, so she has to account for the worst possible scenario. Every possible option has to be on the table. And she must address those options and be tevil accordingly. So we have to set up a schedule of tevilas to accommodate all scenarios, all possibilities, all options. And now she'll be back on track. So again, she left full, came back empty. But as soon as she arrives, she brought before us an expression, meaning she observed in our presence. In other words, she was cognizant. Shloisha shvuin tar. The next 3 weeks she was tar. She knows she had no dam. So upon her return, she had 3 clean weeks. And then the next 10 weeks, it got really tricky. One on, one off. One on, one off. One full week she's seeing dam. The next week, no dam. And so on and so forth. Lasor shvuis, next 10 weeks. Echad. First of the 10 weeks was fully tummy. Every day she had dam. The next week was fully tar, without dam. Echad tar. And so on and so forth. So again, back to the beginning. She left town, Malaya, expecting, came back without anything. No idea what happened. And it followed with 13 weeks as follows. First 3 weeks were Tahar, confirmed Tahar. The next 10, one was Tamei, then Tahar. Tamei and Tahar, Tahar and Tamei. For a total of 13 weeks. What happens? Mishamesh is la'ur shloishim v'chamish. So there are two separate issues to deal with. One is the status of the woman vis-a-vis the husband, her permissibility to be with her husband. And that's okay. La'ur shloishim v'chamish. The night of the 35th. So the 35th day after her return is okay for the husband. Okay, that addresses that. And what about her tumah status? Regarding, you know, Truma and Kachim, Umadvilin Isa Tishim V'chamesh Tefilas. She needs to immerse 95 times the next 80 days. We'll explain exactly how that happens soon. Divrei Bishamai. Bishamai will hold that not only is it important that she is Tevil at every possible juncture, meaning there's a halacha called Tevila Bizman Mitzvah. We'll see later there is a special mitzvah to be tevil in its right time. Don't allow the tumah to linger past, you know, necessary. So as soon as she has an opportunity, as soon as there's even a chance that now is the opportunity to be tevil, she has to do a tevil. So it amounts to 95 in total. First of all. Second of all, going to Beis Shammai, we said there's a tevil called tevilas yom oroch, a long tevil yom. That's her status after she has the Yimei Tahara. After she finished the Yimei Tumah, until she finishes to make the Tahara, she's called Tefillah Yoyim. She did a partial Tahara, but she has to complete it with doing a Tefillah at the end of the Yimei Tahara. Hence, we need a whole series of Tefillahs, because maybe now she just completed the Yimei Tahara. Maybe now, maybe now. So it ends up 9 to 5 times of Tefillahs. Umadbil noisa tishma chamesh Tefillah, Tivri Yisham. Ubisilaimrim. No need to have 95 tefillahs. Shloshim v'chamish, 35 is enough, because according to them, there's no requirement to be tovel after the Tahara, so we discount many tefillahs. Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Daimer, he says, why all these tefillahs? Just do one at the very end and cover it all. You can accommodate all the various scenarios with just one single tefillah. There's no need to do a tefillah bizmano in its appropriate time. Wait until the very end, when you've done all your calculations, all your possibilities, covered it all. Now do one tefillah to cover it all. Dayo le tefillah, it's enough for the tefillah shtei b'achronin to be at the very end. Okay, so again, let's just take a look at this graph. We have a series of 13 weeks. The first 3 weeks are tar, clean, followed by one shaded week, which is Tamei, one clear week, which is Tar, shaded, clear, etc. Now, the important days to keep in mind, the critical Yomim, are day 35, that we just mentioned, which allows her access to her husband. And we have other significant days on the calendar. We have day 21, the end of the third week. We'll see in a minute why that has significance. We have the end of the next week, day 28. And ultimately, at the very end, we have day 80, which is almost at the very end, which is the completion of the longest possible count. Even if she gave birth to an akeva right before she arrived. So at most, it's 80 days. And then she's done. So again, the halacha is, in terms of being mutter to the husband, it's only day 35. Ask the Gemara. Let's first address that before we go into the number of tefillahs, which will be the next part of our discussion. Why is she only permitted on day 35? Look, she had 3 weeks of tahara. What's that coming to accommodate? So, again, we spoke about all different options that have to be addressed. Maybe she gave birth to a zachar, so that takes 7 days to become tar. Maybe it was a nekeva. That's a 2 week wait. Maybe she had given birth to a nekeva and she was also a zava at the same time. For that she needs another 7 clean days, so that takes you into the end of week 3. Bishleima shvo rishon l'mishameshes. I understand why she's off limits the first week. That's to accommodate the birth of a zachar. Comes along with 7 days of tumah. Emar, we have to speculate. Yilad zachari. Okay, so the first week is out. Second week, shavua sheni emar, we have to speculate. Yilad is nekevi. Maybe she gave birth to nekeva, which is followed by a 2 week yimei tumah. Shavua shlishi. Third week, emar, we're concerned that perhaps yilad is nekeva b'zoivi. When she gave birth to nekeva, she was also a zava. And you can't. Rashi says you can't combine the counts. To count each one separately. 2 weeks for the 2 months later, followed by a clean week for the Ziva. That's the Keva B'Zayvi. But now the question is like this. What's wrong with week 4? I know she's seeing Dam, but it's Dam of Tahara. Because she's out of the woods already. She's past the longest Yimei Tumah. The most it could be is 2 weeks. Or if she's Zava, 3 weeks. So the 4th week, she's in safe territory. Even she sees Dam, who cares to Shama? She's okay. Dam Toru, it's Dam Toru. Oh, that's if we assume she had a baby. Because of the Rive factor, Shmuel Levi's principle. So now she's in Yimei Tahara territory. Lav Mishum, the Leslina Basaruba. Apparently we don't adopt the Rive factor. It wasn't a confirmed later. I know she left town expecting me. Maybe she, it wasn't really a proper birth. It wasn't a valid vlad. In which case, she never really had a yoledes status. In which case, she's not entitled to Yimei Tahara at all. And this dam is just damid. That's a kasha. Anav Shmuel Levi asserts otherwise. So that was the question that was posed. But Rav responds by saying, I'm not sure what the question is. Why are you not sure? Elamai lo yadana mai tiyufta. What does it mean? He doesn't know what the question is. I'll tell you why he wasn't sure. Eimar hechiki leidasa. True. Suppose she had a baby, but maybe months ago. We have no idea. It's been a while, Rashi said, right? Rashi on top says, Zman Meruba. It's been a long time since she left town. Yes. Most likely, Roy Ben Hashem have a baby. Maybe 6 months ago. And she's way past her allowance, way past the Yemei Tahara, which at most, the longest is 80 days. So now the week four, which is a shaded week, right, with Dam, is a concerning week. It could very well be just plain Yemei Dam Nida. Fine, so that settles that. Let's move on. What about week five? I mean, week five, she's certainly taken care of. Because when she sees on week four, worst case, it's Yemei Nida. Okay, Nida only lasts for 7 days. Come Shabbos, she's done. So Sunday of week five, she's back. Shabbat Chamish is the Torah, the fifth week, which is clean. To Shabbos, why is she not permissible at that point? The answer is like this. We have to also consider that she was a Yeledes. And we have no idea when the days of Leda, the Yemei Tahara, conclude. Maybe they concluded smack in the middle of week four, maybe on the Friday of week four. And then when she saw on Shabbos of week four, it's the beginning of Yemei Nida, which lasts 7 days. So at worst case, she started her Nida count on the last day of week four, which extends until Friday of week five, which makes her off limits until that very last day of week five. That's why the Brisa says only on day 35 is she mutter. Beautiful. Achshav Arvi, because truthfully, week four, which is a shaded week, Kol Yom V'Yom, every day of that week, Mesapkina, we're not sure how to label it. Maybe B'Seif Leida, maybe that's the end of her, Yemei Tahara count following a birth. We don't know. Ubet Chilas Nida, the beginning of the Nida. So you have no idea. Right? Maybe the Leida ended, and today is the beginning of the Nida count, which takes you another 7 days. So you have to wait until day 35 when you're certainly safe. Right? The Esrin V'tman Yugufei, right? On day 28 itself, Eimar Tchilas Nida, we can say maybe that's day one of the Nida. Uboy L'meisav Shiva L'Nidasa, she has to wait another 7 days to complete that Nida count. Okay. Let's go back a week. What about day 21? What's wrong with that? It's after three clean weeks. Can't get better than that. We accommodated the Yemei Tumah of the Zohar. That was week four. Week two was for Yemei Tumah of Nekeva. Week three was, perhaps she was a Zava. Now, a Zava has to count 7 clean days, but she could be Tevel on day 7. Mitzasim Kekulay. So on day 7, after Tefillah, she's Torah. Besser Mechat Tishamish. On day 21, she's Mutter to the husband. The answer is Reb Shimoni. We're going to Reb Shimoni, who says, you can't take chances. Because, true, technically, if she's Tevel somewhere in the middle of that day, and she maintains that Tahara, she's okay. But let's say she sees Dam an hour later after she was with her husband, retroactively, they're in trouble. Turns out that she was never Tahara that day, so you can't take a chance. You have to wait until the day is done and completed and confirmed as a Yom Tahara. Reb Shimon Hida Amaru says, Asur Laskeni may not proceed this way, Shema Tavei De Safek, because it can come to uncertainty, undo the whole thing. Ask the Gemara, okay, so on the day she's Asur, but that very night she's mutter. She hadn't yet seen any more dam. The next installment only came the next day, at the beginning of the fourth week. Lower to the Shabbos, that very night, Master Shabbos, she should be permissible because Shirasa Be'er was speaking that the blood arrived that night. Too late. Okay, so before we continue on to the specifics of the multiple, tvilois, let's just recap the first part of our discussion regarding her heter tashmish, the permissibility with her husband, which only happens on day 35. Again, what happened? The Isha left town expectant, came back. They pleaded. She had 3 clean weeks, followed by a series of weeks, one on, one off, right? One shaded with dam, one no dam, all the way down to 13 weeks. Brisa says she's mutter only on day 35. What's wrong with day? First of all, what are we doing here? Why are we in so many days? The answer is because we don't know what happened. Maybe she was a Yeledes Zohar. That addresses the first week, so they have a 7-day tumah count. Maybe a lettuce in the keva, takes another week. Maybe she was in the keva b'zayiv, Zava needs a 7-day count on top of the 2 weeks. That's the week 3. We spoke about day 21 being a tricky day, so you got to be off there. Week 4 is a shaded week with dam. Now, perhaps she was not a yoledes. This is a plain dam neither, which requires a 7-day wait, but maybe there was a yoledes, which ended somewhere in that week. So at worst case, it ended on Friday, and Shabbos is the beginning of her neither count, which takes you to the end of next week. She's only mut on the very end, very last day of week number 5. Now, what about the tefillah schedule? According to Beis Shammai, it's 95 tefillahs in total. So, now we start understanding we have to accommodate so many different possibilities. And each one requires its own unique type of tefillah. Like we said, the tefillah at the end of the year, nida, is at night, after you complete your 7 days. Likewise, the end of Yemei Tumah of a Zohar is at the night following the 7 days. Yemei Tumah of an Akeva, the night following the 2 weeks. It's a tumah of a zava, it's a daytime tefillah on the 7th day. If it's that new type of tefillah called tefillah siyam aruch that she has to execute at the end of the Yemei Tahara, it's also a nighttime tefillah upon completing the full count. That gets us to 95 in total. Umat bil noisach tishim v'chamish tefillahs. How's that? Shavuot Kama, week number 1. There it's only night time tefillahs, because you're only accommodating one concern. Emar yoledes zachar, maybe she was a yoledes zachar, which requires a tefillah at the end of the week, which is nighttime tefillah. So every night has that possible. Emar yoledes zachar, Shavuot Sheni. The same with week number 2. Maybe it was a yoledes nekeva. Shavuot Sheni, Madbil Noisa Belelusa, nighttime tefillahs. Emar yoledes nekeva, to address the possibility she gave birth to nekeva. On top of nighttime tefillahs, she needs daytime tefillahs throughout that 2nd week as well. Because maybe, b'yamama, daytime tefillahs, emar, we can speculate, yoledes zachar b'zoivi. Maybe she gave birth to a zachar, but she was a zava at the time as well. She needed 7-day count for the ziva that came along. So, for that, she needed tefillah b'yayim. And that could fall at any time during the 2nd week. Yoledes zachar b'zoivi. Okay, so week number 1, it's only 7 tefillahs, all nighttime tefillahs. Week number 2, it's actually 14 tefillahs, 7 night and 7 day. Week number 3, shlishi matbil nabi imama, shavuot shlishi, the 3rd week, matbil nabi imama, she has daytime tefillahs every day. Emari ledes nekeva b'zoivi, because maybe she gave birth to Nekeva when she was in the status of a Zava, which requires 7-day count, followed by a tefillah, and a daytime tefillah. Now, why does she need nighttime tefillahs during that 3rd week as well? Because maybe she completed the Yemei Tahara of the Leda, which requires its own tefillah, which we call Tevulas Yom Aruch, a long tefillah, meaning a Ledes, who had been toivel after the Yemei Tumah, until she finishes her full count, let's say by Yoledes Nekeva, until another 66 days, where she's finished her 80, the very end, she needs another tefillah. Until that point, she's called a tefillah siyayim. Like we said, a person who had immersed and hadn't completed his purification, she's called tefillah siyayim aruch, a very lengthy tefillah siyayim. It can last, you know, last 66 days. So she needs another tefillah to complete that process. Since we have no idea when that falls out, so we start doing it now on a nightly basis, from now until she completes her 80 days, meaning until day 80 from her return to us. B'lei Lusa, throughout every night, B'shamay Tamay B'shamay, in accordance with their opinion, the Amish say, Tefillah Siyam Aruch, she needs a tefillah, boy, a tefillah. So that's how we get to the full count of tefillahs. So again, for the numbers, week number 1, nighttime tefillahs only, because you led us zachar. Week number 2, the nighttime tefillahs you led us nekeva, but we add the zav option as well, which required daytime tefillahs. Maybe she had a zachar with ziva for daytime tefillahs. Week number 3, daytime tefillos because maybe it was a nekeva plus zava. So zava requires daytime tefillos. And now we begin with a new series of tevilas yom aruch tefillos, which require nighttime tefillos. So starting from week 3 all the way down till day 80 is one tefillah per night. Ask the Gemara, but it's only 94 in total, not 95. Michti, look, take a close look at the numbers. Yimei Tahara, how many days of Yimei Tahara do we have left? So the longest possible stretch is from the day she returned, we give her 80 days, 2 weeks for Yimei Tumah of the Nekeva, followed by 66 days of Tahara until day 80. Now, we spoke already about the first 2 weeks requiring the, you know, nighttime tefillos, etc., for the reasons we mentioned. The first week is to accommodate Zohar, second week for Nekeva. So out of a total of 80 days, we already discounted, we addressed the first 2 weeks. So that deducts, 14 days. What's left of the 80? 66. Michti, Yimei Tahara Kama. How many days until the completion of Yimei Tahara? Shita Mishita, another 66. Dal Shvor Shlishi. Now let's also put aside the third week, which we already discussed as well. That Belina Lo, we already put on the, we already talked about that during that week, as we explained. So it's another 7 days off your total. From 66, you only have 59 left. Pasha Lu, Shita Nechichadi, left with 60 minus 1, which is 59. Now, how many tefillahs did she have until this point? 35, right? 7 on the first week, and 14 on the second, 14 on the third, which is 35. Plus one tefillah a night for the remaining 59. That's really 94 until not 95. Shita nechichada. 59 with one tefillah per night. But lost in Muhammad. Added to the 35 tefillahs that we discussed, Tishan V'ar Bahavim, it's only 94. So why do we speak about 95? Tishan V'chamish Ma'yav Adetai, why are we speaking about 95? Omar Avir Midifti is another one that we missed. Gan Shabbasla Fanele Ben Hashmashas, initially when she presented herself to us, it wasn't like smack in the middle of the first day, it was twilight. It was Matzah Shabbos, let's say, right? Ben Hashmashas, somewhere in the middle, where there was a chance that perhaps it's still Shabbos, so maybe her Yimei Tumah ended right now, and she's Tevel tonight. So we thought she has to wait until Sunday night. No, she's Tevel right then and there. So Avinu L'Tefillah is here, so we add the extra Tefillah to accommodate the possibility that perhaps she completed her Yimei Tumah just now. And she's Tevel now. So that's a total of 95. According to Basilo, that a woman who is already toivel after the Yimei Tumah need not be toivel after she finishes the Yimei Tahara in order to permit her, you know, access to Truma. So we discount all those extra tefillos that Bishami spoke about. But she still needs 35. Why? My Avita, how did he get to 35? It should only be 28. 7 the first week to accommodate for the Zohar. Now, even though we spoke about an extra one the first week, but the more later we'll say we're not going to reckon with just a once a week Tevila. Okay, so let's just work with weekly, you know, sets. So the first week is 7, because maybe she was with the Zohar. The second week, 7 nighttime. Yilat Nekeva, 7 daytime. Maybe she was a Zav together with Yilat Zohar. The third week, 7 daytime, because maybe she was in a Keva Bezoiv. That's a total of 28. How do you get to 35? According to Basil, we don't need the extra nighttime tefillahs at the end of the Yimei Tahara. The answer is like this. As for Matmanik Damar, so 28 as we explained. Hachshavo Hamishi. But week number 5, she needs additional tefillos. Mat belinan kolelo vilaldi. Every night of week 5, she needs. Why? Amar soif nidahi. Because we explained before, week 4, which is a shaded week, which had dam, could really also have been the end of the Yimei Tahara. Maybe there was a Leida on this end. So maybe until the very last day of that week, she was still a Yuledis. Right? The worst case, it's the last day, which starts her Nida count, which stretches another 7 days. And since we don't know which day is the beginning of that Nida count, it could be any day of week four. So the following week, we don't know. We don't even know when the 7 days finish. Could be any day of the next week. So every one of those nights requires a tefillah. So that gets you another seven. 7 plus 28 is 35. Okay, so let's recap again. Isha left, expecting, came back, depleted, not sure what happened. Was she a ledes zachar, a ledes nekeva? Was she perhaps a zava? Was she not a ledes at all? So you have to accommodate all those possibilities. And regarding her husband, she's mutter only on day 35, as we explained, because week number one was to accommodate, right? And she had 3 weeks tor, followed by 10 weeks tamei tor. So the first week has to accommodate the yoledes zachar, second week yoledes nekeva, third week maybe she was a zava. Fourth week she sees Dam. Maybe she was never Yuledis. This is Dam Nida. Maybe they need to start on the very last day of that fourth week, because until then she was Yimei Tahara. So it takes her until Friday of week five. She's only Mutter on Shabbos of week five. In terms of to be Lois, Yisham say 95 in total. Because the first week, she's Toivel during the night times to, as completion of the Yimei Tumah de Zachar. Week number two, there is a nighttime tefillahs for Yuledes Nekeva. Daytime tefillahs, maybe she was Yuledes Zachar, and she was a Zava as well. Week number three, daytime, maybe she was a Yuledes Nekeva with a Ziva. And according to Beis Shammai, we need an additional tefillah called Tefillas Yom Aruch, which starts during night times of week three and takes her all the way till day 80. According to Basil, there's no such requirement, but on week five, we still have a series of nighttime tefillahs, because perhaps she became a nida somewhere more week four. Since we don't know when it started, it could have started any time. So the following week, every night is perhaps the conclusion of that 7 day count and requires a nighttime tefillah of a total of 35 tefillahs. Now, what's the finish line here? What's the farthest she has to go? 80 days from when she comes back. Now, we have way more than 80 days in our calendar here. We have 13 weeks. It really could have just gone until the middle of week 12. As for Shavuot, normally, why do we discuss a story involving 3 clean weeks followed by 10 alternating weeks? But Panya Palgasagi, instead of 10, 8.5 would get you to the finish line. So I think, well, you're right, but once we started, I did a ton of Palgas Shavuot. Once we began, you know, part of that week there, Masakle, we concluded it. Once we spoke about a shaded week, so we just paired it up with a matching clean week. So that's how we get to 13 weeks. Now, there are many more reasons for tefillah, which were not seemingly not mentioned here. Ask the Gemara, Vayikra Tefillah Zava. Starting from week 6 onward, she could require a tefillah for a zava, because suppose week 4, the shaded week, was a regular nida, so ziva is the next stage, right? When Isha sees Dam, she's tamei for 7 days, and then we have a series of days, 11 days, which are called Yimei Ziva. Okay, so she has 3 consecutive days during the ziva time of the month, which could have fallen out on week 6 over here, which is a shaded week. She could be a Zava. Now she has to wait 7 clean days and do a daytime tevilah at the end of that 7-day count. So why did the Bryson not refer to all those daytime tevilahs to accommodate a possible conclusion of a Ziva count? You're right. It really, really has to be done, but the Braisa is not going to discuss that here. The Braisa only discussed the tefillahs Beis Hillel, at least, only discussed the tefillos which preceded the permissibility with her husband. Right? This is how many tefillos you need to do, which eventually leads to permissibility with her husband. Rather than counting everything even after that day, it's not on our list, but really, technically, she has to do it. But according to Shammai, who enumerated all those multiple tefillos, even following day 35, nichshav nami tefillos zavus, why don't we mention all the daytime tefillos for the possible zava down the road as well? The Bryce is discussing tefillos that come on account of a birth, not on account of a ziva. What do you mean? We had a whole series of tefillos in the beginning of the calendar, which were to address this very concern of a ziva. We discussed the yeledus with a ziva status. Yeah, yeledus b'zoyv k'choshev. We address a case where she was yeledus in a ziva state, which, you know, necessitate additional tefillos to accommodate that aspect of the leda. Ziva k'dosu l'k'choshev, we're not discussing a plain ziva out of the blue. So it's sort of a one-track price of discussing a leda with any accompanying concerns. But technically, you're right. There is a very real concern of ziva down the road, and she has to accommodate that as well. What about as follows? Shvasa kama, dasan kama, lutvila b'yayma. What about week one? We don't require daytime tefillos at all on week one. Why? Maybe she was a zava prior to returning, and every day is the conclusion of the ziva. Dilma klayam v'yayma shlimu l'sforim didam. Maybe every day of that first week is the conclusion of her 7-day clean count. Hamani Rebbe Kivi. No, Gondor Rebbe Kivi. Damu says doesn't count when you don't count it. Be'inan sforim v'faneinu. It has to be counted in front of us, meaning it has to be awareness and cognizance. It's not just automatic. If you don't have dam, you become clean. You have to be aware. You have to pay attention, which she hadn't until she came and presented herself. So that doesn't count. Next question. Soif Shavu Kamalit Vila. What about the end of that first week? She was here. She was aware. She was cognizant. It was clean. So day 7 of that first week, she should have a daytime tefila. You're right. She does. B'chad B'Shavu L'Kamayr. The price is discussing weekly, you know, sets, packages, not a once a week tefila. Okay. Yoyim Kamal Asal Kamalit Vila. What about the first day when she arrived? She should be tefila on that first day. Why? Because maybe she had dam before she came. Dam of ziva. Now, if you have dam during the ziva time, and it's only a one-day experience, you need to count one day, the next day clean, and you tevel on that day. It's sort of a corresponding to that previous day of tumah. So we know she's here. She's clean today. She should be tevel today, just in case. Today is her clean day for the ziva. Yoyim ha-kama, das l'kama. The first day she came back, she required tevela. Dilma shemer shem k'neged yomim. Maybe she has that requirement to observe just one clean day, which is today. You're right, says the Gemara. It wasn't factored in. The Bryce is discussing a grand zava, a 3-day consecutive riyah, which requires 7 clean days. That's, we're addressing that, you know, zava ketan, just a minor zava, a 1-day experience of the Gemara, we're not discussing, but you're right. Of course, it has to be accounted for. Okay, says the Gemara, Shema Minat Plas. Based on our discussion, we can conclude three things. Shema Minu Rabbi Kivi, at the Bryce is going to Rabbi Kivi, the Amar B'ina Sfurma Faneinu, a 7-day clean count of the Zabah has to be confirmed before us, meaning it has to be with awareness and cognizance, otherwise it doesn't count, as we just concluded. Number two, Shema Minu Rabbi Shimon, going to Rabbi Shimon, the Amar says, remember the question of day 21, why can't you just be Tevel Mimuta on that day? Can't take chances. The Amar Rabbi Amar Chacham instructed us, you can't do that. Amar Chacham also losses Cain. Shema Tove De Savik might revert to a problem if she sees dam on the very same day, which will undo retroactively. You can't take chances. And number three, which is a recurring theme permeating through the entire brisa, why would you need so many tefillos? Ushma mino tefila bezmana, to be tevel in its right time, mitzvah is a requirement to relieve yourself of tuma at the first possible opportunity. Okay, so this lines up with Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. They're both on this track that you have to do tefillah b'zman. It's just that Beis Shammai add another series of tefillahs called tefillah shei marach, which we still do not agree with, but tefillah b'zman all agree with. However, here comes a third opinion. Reish b'da imer, one tefillah at the very end takes care of it all. package deal, dayu, la tefila b'achroina. You know why? Lo yamrin, he doesn't hold this requirement to do it in its right time. But lo yamrinon, tefila b'zman mitzvah. Therefore, he says, as long as at the end of the day you're tar, that's good enough. Okay, so let's do a quick chazara. We have the Mishnah where Isha was Mapelas, not sure what. She has to accommodate the possibility of a zachar and a keva. She doesn't know whether it was a vlad at all. She has to account for the possibility that there was no lady at all, and what she sees dam is dam nidim. Shema Levi tells us, Roib Nashama Yailid, and the Gemara concluded that's when she was Hosaka Ubra, but otherwise there's a possibility there was no vlad at all. We thought we had a kasha from our Brisa. It turns out that Ravin resolved it by saying, look, over there, yeah, she had a lady, but maybe it was moons ago, so we can't really take into consideration in terms of our calculations. Now what happened there? Isha left town, Malaya came back Rikunis. Not sure what happened, whether she had a vlad, what it was. She comes back with 3 clean weeks, and then followed by 10 weeks alternating, one shaded, one clean, one shaded, one clean, etc. So we're addressing 2 separate issues. One is the question of being mutter to the husband. That happens on day 35. As we explained, that week number 1, maybe she is now observing Yemei Tumah of the Zachar. Week number 2, maybe Tumah of the Nekeva. Week number 3, maybe she's a Zav as well. Week number 4, she's seeing Dam. Therefore, only at the end of week 5, one was certain that she's out of the woods, because maybe during week 4, she's completing the Yemei Tahara, and the Yemei Tahara only start the last day, so it requires another 7 days. It takes her to the end of week 5, day 35, when she's Mutter. In terms of Tefillos, according to Beis Shammai, it's 95 in total. According to Basil, it's only 35. According to Basil, Yehuda, there's no requirement to have Tfilas Mitzvah Bismana. Therefore, one at the very end, on day 80, which is certainly safe territory. All the best to you, Natsalacha Rabbah.